Christy Greener, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. I'm here for our third discussion with Donna Da Silva. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you.
Yes, and if you join us for the last two, you've heard some great stuff. If you haven't, this is our third time with Donna. You can find that on our podcast, but we promised last time we'd talk about not taking the bait. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you define that? How would you like to describe that?
Well, one of the teachings that I do in the Warring with Wisdom, which is one of our resources, is I talk about praying from the third heaven realm, which is where you're to be seated. We are seated with Christ in the third heaven realm, right above the powers, principalities, authorities, and dominions.
Very scriptural.
Very scriptural. That's Ephesians 6, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. Yeah. All of that up here is where we're seated. And the enemy cannot afford us to pray from that location.
He's scared of us understanding
that. He's scared of
us
understanding that. Mm-hmm. And so he will do whatever he can to get you off that seat. And I talk about what happens is if he gets you all the way down here, in the earthly realm, you're fighting people, right? And you're sick. You have situations going on where you feel the weight of the enemy's presence over you, the despair of what's going on in the world, the frustration. And when we pray from that, we usually pray from the seat of fear. And so one of the things you can get if you go on my website is you can sign up for the praying from power. And it talks about we pray from fear, selfish ambition, or love. And so when you're underneath the enemy, it's like, and you're a victim and you're hurting and you're like, and you pray from that place, you're releasing those seeds we talked about into, and we're sowing
and
that in.
You have no clue you're doing it.
No.
It's not like you intentionally release it, but the enemy he's a liar and a thief.
Yeah.
So he is manipulating to have you release his seeds into the field that God has given you to plant, basically.
Right.
Instead of what God gives you from the third heaven to plant.
Yep.
So he steals, kills, and destroys. Part of that is by planting bad seeds in your life.
And it grows.
Mm-hmm. And it grows.
It grows because
it
produces
it takes
after
over.
Its kind. It
takes
over.
And then the good things God put in your life cannot thrive and grow.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes when we can't thrive and grow and we're frustrated with God, it's because there's all this stuff taking up space that needs to go.
That we need to burn up. Like last time, we asked the Lord to burn up those things that are in our lives. So go back and watch that if this makes sense to you. But sometimes we don't go all the way under the enemy, but we come from here and we take the bait and we get frustrated and we step into what I call the boxing ring. And we actually start praying things like, you're going down and da-da-da. And it's like, your authority's not in the boxing ring. That's actually where the angelic and the demonic are doing battle. Where does that come from? Look at Daniel 10, when the angel is released and gets caught in this place with the king of Persia. So pay attention to those things and try and remain up here in the third heaven realm where you are seated with Christ. The moment you're saved, you are reposition. And so we teach that you actually are bilocational, that you live here on earth, but you dwell here. Your spirit is here.
I like to describe it to people like you, because of what Jesus did and how he causes us to be seated in heavenly places, we have like an Ethernet cable. People know what Ethernet is. You have an Ethernet cable going from the natural realm, first heaven, where we live and what we see, to the throne room of God, and we don't have to stop in second heaven.
Right.
And which is never fruitful for us, because Jesus did all that. He has a strategy that's better than ours fighting on our own. He has a strategy to release what he wants. That's why he says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, because that defeats the enemy.
Right.
It's a strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And it's important for us to stay seated there. I think the trick is probably not the right word, but it's the only word I can think of, is to not take the bait.
Yeah.
To not come on down to his level or underneath him. And what does that look like? It's to keep yourself in the position of understanding, if I'm in third heaven, there's hope. If I'm in third heaven, there's always a declaration he can have me release. There's always the peace, right? And so if I can pray from those places, I know I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms.
Yeah, what comes to mind is that book that John Bevere wrote a long time ago, The Bait of Satan. Like when you get offended and you start taking it on yourself, that is what you're talking about, that kind of thing. And the enemy knows how to bait us very well.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, but Jesus understands fishing as well.
Yeah.
So he knows how to handle
That's
this
awesome.
Stuff. And yeah.
He's going fishing too.
Yes. Yeah. So as people say, so how do I know how to do that? What do I do? What do I say? How do I get in that place? Mm-hmm. How do you coach them?
Well, First of all, I usually have people repent for being underneath the enemy, right? And
even if you didn't know what was going
on. Even if you didn't know.
Jesus loves you no matter what. Right. So just, yeah, what it's you're doing is unhooking the hook.
Unhooking the hook. And it's not about him loving us less. Exactly. It's about us being less fruitful.
Yes.
Because we are actually releasing wrong information. Well, mm-hmm. so one, this was so important to me. I've always heard the power of life and death is in the tongue and to be careful what you speak. And I've always heard that in truth, and you know, I believe it. But one day I woke up, and you're in that just about waking up and not quite waking up, and I was speaking in tongues, and I was shulatachat. And as I was speaking, I literally saw in the spirit realm my words were, they were knives, and they were going into the second heaven realm, and the angels were grabbing them and doing battle.
Oh,
and
wow.
I woke up and I thought, wow, every word we speak empowers one side or the other. And I was like, whoo, that made it real to me. It's like, oh, I get what they've been telling me. Donna, when you say, darn it, or you say, you know, out of anger, and usually that's not darn that we say, but it's like, ah, or, you know, it's like you are giving the weapon to the enemy side.
Or when you say, I hate this political party.
Yes.
I hate these people.
I hate
this kind of thing, or they're awful, or yep. they're going to. Anything that we are saying that is taking life, not giving life, is
empowering the demonic realm.
Right.
Ooh.
Because God is life and light.
Yes.
He gives life, not death.
Yeah. And the other thing that helps us know we're in third heaven is when we're worshiping. It's like when we can turn ourselves up to what he's doing, even if we're not seeing it today, we know we win. We know he's in charge. We know this didn't catch him unaware. We're able to change our views above what the enemy's releasing, and we're able to praise him. And in praising him, we are empowering the angelic realm.
You know, I think often people will be afraid to then, okay, if my words are going to make this big problem, what do I say anything? What do I say? And they get kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. And I just always go back to John 10, where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow my voice. They won't follow the enemy because they don't know that voice. They know my voice and they'll follow me. So following him, doing what he tells you to do, if you don't know the enemy's voice, you're safe. So the key to all this is knowing Jesus really well, knowing what he says about himself in the word, knowing him because you spend time with him, because you worship, knowing him and knowing his voice is out of relationship. Like you and I, you could probably call me and I'd know your voice because I know your voice.
Right.
Not just because you're a public speaker, but I know your voice. And kind of the same, we know each other's voice because we know each other.
Yeah.
But that's the way it needs to be with the Lord. You only know someone that in the old days when we didn't have cell phones with the caller ID on them, you would pick up and you could talk to some people, just start talking. You know, this is the grandma talk some more, isn't it? The old days when we didn't have, but you could just pick up the phone and talk because you knew that person. But if it was a stranger, they'd have to tell you who they were. They'd have to tell you what their business was, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So to be in that first name, understanding his voice basis with Jesus is the key to be able to live life with this kind of fruit in it.
I was just thinking of a time when my son Corey was very little. He was in children's church and he was in his car seat because he went in his sleep. And Steve and I were leading worship at the time in this little church. And they said that even before he was supposed to be able to move his head around, that the moment I would start to sing, he would look up like, where's mom? And he was probably just 2 months old or something, you know?
Awesome.
So it's like that tuning into, we hear the Father's voice. We know Jesus's plan and the Holy Spirit.
It's wired into us. Every human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they're redeeming it or not.
Yes. Yeah. The ability's there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you sang in church.
I know, scary, huh?
That's cool. Awesome. That's fun. New things you learn. So anything else you'd like
to... I know that shocked you so much.
I'm like, wait a second.
It's because she's heard me sing and she's like, really?
No, that's not why.
They let you sing in church?
That's not the truth. It's because I've known her a long time and I never knew she sang in church. So what else would you like people to know, or what, anything you want to bless them with before we close this time out?
Yeah, I just really think, you know, we started with don't take the bait, and just really it's important to, you know, not live a life of offense. Patricia King brought up a word just probably this last year that said, God said, it's time to be unoffendable. And she said, you know, you kind of hate those words when they come because you know he's going to test you. And you know,
there's a reason. You know, there's a reason. Coming.
Yeah. So she has a book out about being unoffendable. And I thought, oh, I don't really need this book because I'm not, I work hard at not being offended. Right. I just like, okay, all right, yeah, that's your opinion. And if you're right and I need to change something, I'll repent. But I work hard to not take on offense. But as I'm reading her book, I'm like, ooh, there are some places in my life that I literally did have offense and didn't understand that it was offense. So I think if we could release something in here, taking the bait is really about offense. Mm-hmm. It's really, and you know, we get offended at God because he didn't do what I expected him to do.
The way I wanted him to do it.
And people are deconstructing their Christian faith now. I think that is the saddest thing. It's like you're deconstructing your faith. Why is that? It's offense. Yeah. You are offended because he didn't come through the way you expected, or you're offended because you're struggling with some issue inside that you're not getting healed of. And so you're blaming God. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This,
right.
You are being assaulted by the demonic realm, and you're assigning it your inability to fight correctly with God not coming through, rather than realizing, no, you own your part in the battle.
Right. And when the wrong understanding, like you're just a victim here,
yeah,
of a God who doesn't really care.
Yeah.
And that's such a lie.
That's such a lie.
But that lie is so oppressive.
So oppressive. And so sozo, if you are about to deconstruct your faith, get sozo. If you don't want sozo because it's us, get another inner healing. Get connected to the God who knows you, who sees you, who literally has the answers for you. Maybe not the answers you want, right? But the answers that are truth.
Oh, I can think of many times when God didn't do things the way I...
Yeah.
And I've had to work on this with the Lord. I've had some ugly stuff happen in life, and God, you could have stopped this. Mm-hmm. You could have changed this, and I... Yeah, it was hard. It's hard.
It is hard.
But God is bigger.
He is bigger than that, and he sees generationally.
And
right?
He has an answer. What I've learned to do is trust that he has an answer for those things that I don't, I want to figure out why God did this. I want to figure out why. He has an answer. Yeah. Sometimes I have to wait years for that answer, but I do get the answer.
And sometimes you have to see it generationally in the sense that, you know what, we went through and he didn't stop happening. You know, for some of you that have been abused as children, you're like, why didn't he stop that? Well, find out where he was, what the truth is, and then realize you are, when you understand it and sit in the heavenly realms, you begin a new trajectory for your generations. You're like,
come on.
You know, when God redeems the demonic stuff that happened and you're able to say, but God, I'm, you know, like the enemy did this, but God, you actually stand in a place of authority that shifts the abuse in the home so that your generations don't get abused anymore.
Yes.
So he promises to turn it to good. It's not a fun verse to hear in the middle of your struggles.
No.
But the promise is there.
Not that it is good. He's not saying it's a good thing that happened to you. He says he'll turn it, he'll use it for good
for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And literally, I had a young man come in. He was in probably 10, and he was dealing with pornography. And 10 years old. And I talked, and the dad was with him. And, you know, I said to the dad, you know, he told me ahead of time he had opened the door to his son to pornography, not through abuse, but just because his dad struggled with that. He says, I opened the door, even though we didn't watch it together. But what I carried, and I said, well, you didn't win it until you were way older. And now your son's 10 and you're trying to win this. He said, yeah. And I looked at the young man. I said, does this seem bigger than you? He goes, yes. I said, well, number one, it's spiritual. So it is bigger. But number two is when you win this at 10, you are winning for the generations to come because your dad didn't win it until he was in his 40s. And the kid just went, oh.
Yeah, so when you win it when you're 10 years old.
The generations to come.
Your children's children, generations to come.
Pool-a-ra-ha.
So that's what I love. People worry about generational curses, and they're real. I mean, they are. Because I've had them in my life and had to go through some things. And I'm like, are you curious? Because when I was a pastor, people would come, I'm still a pastor, but when I was a denominational pastor, I remember people came into the prayer chapel with me and would talk about, well, what's this generational thing? And I would say, oh, you know, the blood of Jesus covers it. You're redeemed by him. It's like that generational thing. It's dealt with. Well, then that was very good. And it was the best I knew at the time, the theology I knew at the time. But the Lord began to uncover a generational thing in my family line that was ugly, ugly and caused a lot of harm. And it broke me when I found this. I got delivered of it, got healed. And then my first question was, what about my kids? You know?
Yeah.
And so we dealt with all that. And it's like, that's so freeing. Like, not only is this not going to happen in my generation anymore, but it's not going to happen in theirs or generations to come.
Come on.
So yeah, generational curses are an ugly thing, but generational blessings are much more powerful. See, as Donna said before, there's only one creator. The enemy only counterfeits what God has created. So generational blessings is the original God-given plan.
Yes.
And generational curses are the counterfeit.
Right.
And they're nothing compared to what the Lord releases.
Yeah, so when you gain a position of freedom, you actually break that line, right? And so, yes, some things that we struggle with are strong and ugly, but it's strong because the enemy's like, if you win this, your generations will set free.
Yeah.
And so to know, it's like, no, I'm in this fight, not just for me,
but
I'm in this fight because I want my children and my children's children to not have to be confused about this, to not struggle with this. Absolutely.
That's so good. So good. This is fun, Donna. Let's do this again. Yeah.
There's more. Yeah,
I do want you to talk about some of your resources. Yeah.
Okay, so the Bible is
awesome. There.
That's the best resource ever. Yeah, totally. We talked the first one about My Husband's Stuff, Money and the Prosperous Soul is the book he wrote coming out of knowing what it was like in Bethel to have to pay all the bills and how he learned that he struggled with poverty, but when he got out of poverty, he struggled with mammon. And so it's a brilliantly written book about traveling around these islands of poverty and mammon and finding yourself in the places that there are.
You know what Gary and I have discovered about the poverty? We've dealt with poverty, and we think we're really good. And then something else will come. The Lord will bring a deeper revelation of His generosity. But I've got to deal with a deeper level of my dependence on the poverty mentality.
Absolutely,
Because
poverty is not just about money. The spirit of poverty is you can't, you won't, you'll never. It keeps you from dreaming.
Not in my life.
Not in my lifetime.
Maybe for somebody else, never for me.
Yeah. And he grew up, like I said, with a rancher family. And, you know, one of the things you see in ranches is they're like, if I won the lottery or if I won $1 million, I just keep ranch until it was gone. You know, it's like, that's what it's like. It's not a winning strategy, this, you know, ranching. It provides. But it's like, no, there's a mindset of a lot of times of ranchers that we're just going to eke by.
Right.
That's a poverty mentality, rather than abundance. But okay, so then we have the shifting atmosphere. So I'm known for SOZO or shifting atmospheres. And shifting atmospheres actually is like the broadcast of the enemy. What's he saying? How's he trying to bait you, right? And then I have a little bit, this is, you have to privately find, is Atmospheres 101 is actually working through practicing your discernment. So shifting atmospheres is, here's a broadcast, I'm going to change the channel, and how do we learn what is ours and not ours, and then this is helps you to walk through it. We have declarations too. I don't have that book with me, but making declarations.
And they can find this at DeSilva.
They can
Ministries.
Find it at DeSilvaMinistries.com. And look at this. We have a SOZO book, which walks you through your own SOZO, which is fun. And then most people will do this and then go get a SOZO because they're like, wow, this is so impactful. This is great for groups as well. Just have a lot of tissue. You know, small groups and ask questions.
And what I like about that is it gets you started, but then you realize the body of Christ is really powerful and the Lord caused us to need each other. And that's why I think people come in too, because you realize, oh, I need people to help me with this as well.
Right. Because, you know, I think if Christians knew what was killing us, we would take care of it. But sometimes we have this thing like, I don't know what this underlying fever is inside. And so we need others to be able to say, oh, it's right there. And you're like, how did you see that? It's like, well, because it's not familiar to them.
Yeah.
And familiar things to us is just normal. Like if you think that everyone in your life is going to get cancer because your whole family line has cancer, when cancer comes, you don't know if it's a spirit. You just think it's part of the line, but it
this
could be
happens.
A spiritual
realm.
Yeah. Okay. And the last one so far is warring with wisdom. And this is where I talk about the three heavens. And I talk about if you're not staying free, why are you not staying free? And so this is a newer one that I've done that I'm teaching now about how to stay in that place of the third heaven, how to fight from there. We don't have a copy of Overcoming Fear, but I have a book called Overcoming Fear. And it is so fun because it's not just about fear, but it's about how you protect yourself from fear. And learning what your tell is. For me, it's I get louder and I position myself. And when I start to do that, I know I'm afraid because I'm trying to I'm looking at the fruit of it. So,
and you know, I do believe that Donna has another book in her. She hasn't started writing it yet, but I think it's coming. Yeah. And that's about
being in his story.
Yeah. And so we're gonna do one more broadcast in this series with Donna, and it's gonna be about. What does that mean to be in his story, and how what has God been doing in you? Because it's really the cool part of this. She just did a teaching here with us on that, and it was so good. But because God's doing it in her right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes the most powerful teachings we have is what God's stirring in us personally. So.
Yeah.
Well, how about if you bless these guys, and then we'll close this out.
So, Lord, in whatever made sense to them today, Lord, I ask that you would seal it, that you would throw away anything that wasn't from you, and that you would go with your Holy Spirit to just woo them and draw them deeper and deeper and deeper into relationship with Jesus. Mm.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Donna, for all of this, and thank you for joining us. Again, I'm Christy Grainer. This is Donna DeSilva, and we are. This is a Dare to Believe podcast. You can find Donna on DeSilva.com. DonnaDeSilva.com, DonnaDeSilva.com, .com, right? Or you can find us, Dare to Believe is DTBMN.org. We have our podcast on all the different podcast release places, and please like us and share us. See you next time.